Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, damn, Skippy is starting now. Happy Tuesday to you. You are indeed in the loop. I don't know what just happened in that crosstalk.
And Ray Nitschke. No,
I'm okay. All right. You lost me. You lost me a few names ago.
John Sirius. He took off his members only jacket.
You're dang. That's right. Ready to go. Yeah, yeah. To expose his Columbia fishing shirt. He is in.
I'm in.
He is in it.
Back in my groove.
That's right. All right. Let's get in it here on a Tuesday. You know all the typical things happening. Get involved with the program. Text line 713-572-4610. We always appreciate the back and forth. A conversation. They are also appreciative of the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And happy Tuesday to you. Actually, Figgy, can you make sure that I'm correct on this? It's a Texas Ticket Tuesday?
It is. Oh. An early edition.
Okay. Wow. All right. So we got tickets to what, the Cards game?
Yep, the Cardinals game.
Okay, cool. So that'll
not
be happening.
Not Kansas City. Not this week, but next week.
But, buddy, I bet them phone lines would be jumping just at the opportunity. I'll find my way to Kansas City for this one.
Yeah.
It should be incredibly fun. And, look, I don't know that anybody has had more confidence in the possibilities for the Texans in the upcoming game than the way that this season has gone. And it's been quite a roller coaster. I imagine if you managed to chart the confidence level of Texans fans about this game from when it was announced, when we got the schedule, to the training camp. There was probably like an up and then a down, and it's all over the place, but now probably at its all-time high. We have time before we get there, and as we mentioned, Texas Ticket Tuesday for the Cardinals game will happen later today. Also, I think we have some ticket giveaways for some Cougars basketball as well.
Yes, we do.
Man, it's December. Give in spirit, baby. We always got you covered here on Houston Sports Leader. John, there's still obviously things to dissect from the Texans getting a division win versus the Colts. 20-16 on Sunday at what some are calling the Stroud House.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Pat McAfee had a good time with that, talking to CJ Stroud. But
as only he can do.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. There's one of the things that I asked myself as we were watching this football game was, do you feel like the Texans have a bona fide run game now? Because this is a thing that we've kind of monitored for a long time. One, because it is adjacent to one of the big conversations that we had. With this team coming in, which was the offensive line, mm-hmm. right? The offensive line is pivotal. It is important to running the football in any way, shape, or form. And that's something that we did not have a lot of confidence in early. But this is back-to-back weeks of having the same offensive line with a whole bunch of big boys.
Yeah.
So there's that, right? There's Woody Marks finding his established place as running back one in this running back room. And there's been the constant talk from D'Amico Ryans, Nick Kaley, and anybody else who had an opportunity to talk about that in the way that they want to be a running team. They want to be physical. They want to be aggressive. They want to be able to, you know, control the clock, have time of possession. All of that seems to point back to running. And so let me just start with how it feels for you, John Lopez. Does it feel like this team actually has a bona fide running game?
Short answer, yes. And we are not, what, 3-4 weeks maybe removed from sitting in these very chairs and wondering, why are they doing this? You know, it's not working. Remember, we've had that discussion multiple times.
Yes.
Why? How can you call yourself What was it? We want to not dominate the line of control, the line of scrimmage, and run the ball and impose our will. That was another one. And we're like, why are you doing this? It's you know, we're 7, 8, 9 weeks in, and it wasn't working. Here's the thing, though. Just a couple of tweaks, a big tweak on the offensive line, and all of a sudden, they're not a great running attack. They're, you know, you always, you know, have the key numbers that can back these things up.
Oh, shucks.
But they're not a great, I don't think by any gauge, running attack. But here's where it's key. You have to plan for it if you're the opponent. You have to figure out a way to, you know, stop them from, you know, 2 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 12 yards, you know, from, because they're not giving up on the running game and it's showing a little more success. That's a running game. That's a run game. It absolutely is.
And you know what's funny is that's kind of how I felt as well watching this game, is mm-hmm. I felt like, all right, they're finding a way to run the ball more convincingly. They're obviously the time of possession, the way that they're able to win that consistently feels like, okay, that means something. Then I went and looked at the numbers because looked at the numbers, the thing that I looked at was just the offensive line feels better. It feels like they're more aware.
Yes.
It feels like they're getting more push on the front. I mean, that is what is enabled them to mm-hmm. at least twice get under center with Cade Stover and be able to actually like push for a yard. Like mm-hmm. they looked like a team that could be aggressive at the point of attack, which is not something you could say all season long for this Texans team. Then I got into the numbers.
Okay.
And I'm going to be entirely honest. It shocked me that the numbers in this game looked the way that they were.
Mm-hmm.
Derogatory.
Yeah.
Right? It did not hold up with what my kind of thought process was for this. Can I take you to, let me see, where do I have it here? Yards before contact, which again feels mm-hmm. like that would be indicative of
the line,
the offensive line getting pushed, because that was one of the things I was like, let me see if I could back this up. And I'm just looking at this week 13 game. They got about a half a yard before contact, 0.58. Not that that matters a lot. The most important thing is I looked at that mm-hmm. relative to the other weeks of the season for the Texans. That's the second worst yards before contact
mm-hmm.
that they've had this season.
Okay.
And it's second only to the Buffalo game, weirdly enough.
Yeah, but I also think, let's look at yards after contact, because then you start talking about Woody Marks.
And this is where, and yes,
yeah.
yards after contact was 2.6, which is sixth best.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
A little bit more interesting. And I was like, just the idea that it was the Buffalo game and the Colts game where you had the least yards mm-hmm. before contact just did not sit right with me. The thing that was frustrating as well is that the stuff rate, like the rate mm-hmm. at which they were stuffed at the line of scrimmage, second highest to the Seattle game,
mm-hmm.
which again, does not seem to track with what it feel like the feeling, the visceral feeling of watching this run game. And I'm trying to find a way to square this, John Lopez.
Can I help?
Please.
They ran 4 tush pushes. Stover, Red Rover,
sure.
Stovers.
Sure.
That's getting stuffed. All they want is a yard.
Fair.
You know what I mean? So there's 4 snaps right there in the run game. I don't know exactly how many they had. But
well,
there's 4, which is a pretty decent number. That is going to skew that yards before contact.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
you have to kind of take into, you know, this is where trust your eyes comes into play.
And then I think also it's worth noting that even running the football, Woody Marks, who had a relative good day in the way that it felt and mm-hmm. with the, you know, the caveat of mm-hmm. the ankle, 3.4 yards a carry. Nick Chubb, 3.8 yards a carry. Those are not things that you would write down as these are great games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is where it's real interesting for me because I think I am more inclined, you know me, numbers guy,
mm-hmm.
I'm more inclined to lean into my feel here, mm-hmm. especially when you add in the context that you did, which I really appreciate you mm-hmm. bringing up here, is it feels like their run game is good for what they need it to be good for.
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of explosive runs in this, like the only mm-hmm. 2 10-plus yard rushes versus, I mean, many games this year where they had 3 or 4. There's even a game where they had 5 of those versus the Jags in week 10. And it was good for what they needed. They were able to matriculate down the field. They were able to hold on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to have tough runs when they needed it, including Woody Marks.
Yeah.
When you're trying to salt the game away and it's like, hey, I'm touched 3 yards mm-hmm. beyond the line of scrimmage, but I'm going to fall forward for an additional 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Right. This is the thing that it feels like. And so I'm willing to say numbers be damned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that they have a prolific run game by any means. But they have an effective one, which is all that they need, especially for what the recipe is that they've tried to build.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, correct me if you think I'm wrong, it almost feels a little bit like a SEC game plan circa the mid-teens of the 20.
Hit it, and then all of a sudden you get a bigger play.
And we're gonna wear you down. Yeah. We're gonna time of possession you, and it's gonna be enough. Now it's not gonna be the Alabama SEC of it, but you get what I'm saying. It feels like that is the way that they're going, and they're finding a way for you to squint and see it.
Yeah, and I think that's why there are elements, and there are times, and this is one where you really do have to trust your eyes. You know, not only the four tush pushes. But there were some plays where they knew that they were running into a box. I mean, we could see it watching from the TV, on TV. And yet they did it. And D'Amico actually addressed this a little bit yesterday on the coach's show. Like, we're just trying to, make sure that we can still do play action. So, there are elements in it in which they're, as I said to start, I wouldn't say they're a great running team, but they're a running team. And then they're leaning on it and they're relying on it to set up so many other things.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad that you mentioned play action, because this is just a random note that I had made that now comes up when the words play action trigger me. It felt like they sold play action better, and it's not even just about like them running the ball more, because I actually don't subscribe to that. I do subscribe to the nerd dork theory that the play action is more just about selling it rather than running the football effectively in order for people to bite on it.
Yeah,
they did sell it a lot better, because there was a point in time early in the season where we're like, I'm sitting here looking like there's no way that's a play action. Now, some of those instances was the running back is like, what's more important, me selling this play action or actually picking up this, pass pro block that I need to go get to, right? I think that's some of it. But there was instances where it was like, this is a bad play action sell, right? There was a lot better sells this game, which I imagine also helped have those linebackers bite. But that's neither here nor there. When it comes to the run game, it does feel like it is finding a way to be more effective. Also, just because the line is being more aware in instances. We talked about that Woody Mark 16-yard run on the outside zone where he cuts it up, where these guys are stepping to the right, and you got Ed Ingram leveling somebody, and you got Titus Howard at the left guard spot wheeling around and being aware that, hey, I actually, what would typically be my assignment in here is not here, so let me check back and make sure that this backside block or backside defender doesn't go and trip my guy up. I think that those are the little things that are making this a little more tenable.
I think the other thing that ties directly into that is a lot of times they don't waste plays, but they know it's not going to be, a big gainer, but it's also going to set up other things. You know, you talk about running between the guards and the tackles. Sometimes they know that that's going to go for 3 yards at the most, but it sets up the outside zone. They did mix in some of that, as you just mentioned, a lot more in this game. So even the run game, it's not just passes that set up other passes or play action or whatever. It's the run game being able to set up other options on the edges.
Yeah, and I think also, to be fair, some of this is just an acknowledgement of what hasn't worked for them and actually making the adjustment. I think D'Amico on the coach's show with Vandermeer and Harris made point of like, as the game went along versus the Colts, they were like, hey, how about we run it to the outside? And I was sitting there listening to it like, Yeah. Some of us were looking at Grover Stewart in there and being like, don't run at him. And I think that better late than never is the way that I will say this. And maybe that's a little bit too tongue-in-cheek with it. Like, maybe that's a little cheeky with it. I get it. But yes, acknowledging what your personnel is and doing the things that are going to make it successful, that is also a good thing that'll help them. That's helping them.
I would be also interested what the effect, how many negative plays they're getting in the run game. You talk about yards before contact, but I think that you just feel as if, again, trusting your eyes, you're not getting the minus twos and minus threes on the run game as much either. So that still, it's not a loss. It's a D'Amico Ryans, we don't want any negative plays thing. So I think that helps.
Yeah. So I see you 830 on the text line. Texans are not a good run team. The offensive line is soft and rarely physical. I don't think you can say that with the current iteration of this. I'm not, and again, I want to make it abundantly clear, not saying this is a great run team.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how much I could say this is like a very good or good even run team.
But it is a run team.
It feels like it's effective enough in the run to make this work, which is one of those things that it might be that we've been worn down and the erosion of the season has gotten us to this place where that's good. That's good enough for me. But I think it is good enough for me, and that is worthwhile in my estimation. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going here on a Tuesday in the loop. Coming up next, Rockets were in action the first back-to-back of the season. And unfortunately, they fall to the Utah Jazz. Is this just one of those make-or-miss type of games, or is there a little something in here that is something that we need to watch for the Rockets? 713-572-4610. I want to talk that out next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, hey, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig in his Grinch sweater.
Is that an ugly sweater you got on?
Yeah. I got a long day today, man, because, you know, today is Giving Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is Giving Tuesday.
Yeah, so, I mean, we giving up a lot of stuff around here with the tickets and stuff, but I'm going to Kids Meals right after this to kind of, you know, do some stuff over there.
Yeah.
And that's towards Spring Branch. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it home or not. So,
the Christmas party.
Yeah. So I just went on and wore it now.
I'm so happy you mentioned Giving Tuesday, because I also think that with Giving Tuesday, I'm pretty sure that, and at least with the Houston Food Bank, I believe that there's a match happening there as well. And I'll have to double check there. But yeah, man, if you've got it, especially at this, I know these holiday times end up being tough. Rent just got paid or mortgage or what have you. And you got to make sure you got your gifts for all your people that you love. But if you got a little something to spare, today is a fantastic day to shower it on, you know, the cause of your choosing, especially if it's something that supports the greater Houston area. I personally am very fond of the Houston area Women's Shelter, or Center, rather, Houston Food Bank. But yeah, definitely, if you have an opportunity, appreciate you, Fig, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
ASPCA.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one.
ASPCA is one, for sure.
Yeah, In the Loop approved. Make sure that you support those. All right. Now it was an interesting day last night. Monday Night Football was going on, and that a game happened. We'll talk more about that later. But also, there was something Houston related. The Rockets were on literally their first back to back of the season. It's insane to think about that they went through an entire month of a season and plus, and did not have a single back to back. In fact, there were some of those weeks that they had like a game early on in the week, and were like, "We'll see you on the weekend."
Yeah.
You know, it was like, all right, we will see you a lot later.
Lots of time off.
And this is the first one where they get a back-to-back. It's one of the kind of baseball series of sorts.
I hate these, by the way.
The Jets. Really? Why is that?
I know that you have to have them.
You don't have to have them.
Well, they're doing it for players and to rest. Try and
the back-to-back with the same
the
team.
The same city.
Yeah, I didn't care about
it. It just
that.
Doesn't feel right.
I also wonder, do fans like it, right, in the home cities? Like, do they?
Yeah.
We get the same team two nights in a row. So, do you get tickets for both? Obviously, outside of season ticket holders, do season ticket holders go to both games?
Exactly.
The thing is, it's not like the Lakers twice in a row or anything like that. It'd be like a sorry team, like the Jazz or something.
Or even in baseball, at least you get a different pitcher. You know,
different matchups.
You have different matchups. The lineup changes. It doesn't happen quite as much in basketball. It's like, oh great, off day in Salt Lake City. What are we gonna do? By the way, helpful hint: go to Wendover. Wendover, Nevada. I did that a lot when I was traveling with the NBA.
You weren't sticking around in Utah?
Hour and a half drive to Nevada, baby.
Damn,
hour
man. And a half drive. Utah that bad?
Oh.
Buddy. The story. Well, first and foremost, Vernon Maxwell says yes. So I listen to Vern. I learned to listen to Mad Max.
You can't go to a bar. You have to join a club every time you go to a bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the way to get around their laws.
And then they give you a little form to fill out. They approve you
for a beer,
and then you go in for a 3.1 beer. They don't even sell
real.
They don't even sell beer with more than 3.1% alcohol.
Just a reminder, Utah sucks.
Like, red car, Wendover, Alabama.
There you go.
I mean, Wendover, Nevada.
But you said that, you know, at least with the baseball, you get different games. You got very different games from Sunday afternoon where the Rockets get a 28-point victory versus the Jazz. And then last night where the Rockets fall to the Jazz in an 8-point loss. And I'm interested from you because I know that you took in some of this basketball game. Did it feel to you like it was just a make or miss game, or did it feel like there was something else?
It was for Kevin Durant.
Well, yes, for Kevin Durant, who was 10 of 25 from the floor. I think that there's something interesting to talk about in there. I think one of the other things is, and I've kind of breadcrumbed it as I've talked about this is their first back-to-back. So you miss one of your, now he's become a backbone of your team in Steven Adams. Because not only is this, the way that your team is set up offensively is, yes, Kevin Durant's here, whatever. It's an offensive rebounding team still. They got out-rebounded by the Utah bleeping Jazz.
Big time. Big time. No, I think that's it. I think,
and defensively, I think he also matters a huge amount now,
too. And really just running the floor. He had a couple of nice finishes on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday he looked like Shaq.
He was going, man.
I think he pinned somebody to the backboard, got the ball, passed it up, ran the floor, and then dunked it.
Dunked on
it. I was like, who the hell do you think you are, Steven Adams?
Dunked on. So, yes, the combination of you have to rest Steven Adams, some of the other, just make and miss things as you were talking about. But really, just Kevin Durant. I didn't even look at the number. What did you say? 10 for 25?
10 of 25.
Yeah, he was just missing everything. That's going to happen. It's going to, it's going to be one of those things. On the other hand, you touched on something. Who fills that role? You know, who fills that role for the Steven Adams? We know what Şengün is, and he's obviously a tough guy and can be strong in the paint and rebound and all that. But he doesn't play that role of Steven Adams. And maybe the guy was on the other side of the floor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, that can really help you.
Who are you talking about?
Dylan Brooks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to get there because he went on the other side of the floor, but he was in another game that was interesting.
Yeah.
I think Alperen Şengün had a fantastic night, mind you. 31 points on fairly efficient shooting, 12 of 9, actually really efficient shooting, 12 of 19. He did, he had all the assists, but, you know, the rebounds, you looked at it and you were like, hey, where are all the boards? I mean, he had 8 of them things, so I'm not trying to say, like, he did not do his part, but when you get out-rebounded by the Jazz, that's frustrating. And then on top of that, another thing outside of, well, let me hit the Kevin Durant thing, which is, what happens when Kevin Durant, because I gushed about it in the night before, where he ends up being the perfect conclusion to so many actions, even ones that don't create advantage for you on the floor. What happens when those conclusions aren't there? Because I did see some people, you know, kind of complaining. And to be fair, we're picking nits early or at this early juncture of the season. What happens if those mid-rangers aren't going down? Is that something where you would like Kevin Durant to not take 25 shots?
No, I want him to take his shots. Shoot or shoot. We've all heard that. I think it was just a bad night for him, and I think there was no real other option outside of Sengun that could really fill that role of just pure scorer. Obviously Reed Sheppard
didn't have a great night.
Did not have a great night. So I just feel like you hate to just say one of those nights, because there are little elements to the game, as you pointed out, that they just don't have in these situations. And Steven Adams, he's going to miss more games. So you need to have
especially with these back-to-back. Yeah, that was the Clint Capela was supposed to be insurance, and right now it does not. I mean, he played all of 9 minutes in this game. It feels like they recognize that he's not actually the insurance there that they had hoped.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that is going to be something to monitor. I don't raise this to a level of, this is a flag of sorts, but I think it's something to monitor. Also, the other thing is the Utah Jazz shot 40% from three-point land. And this is something that the Rockets are going to give three-pointers. I think the way that they play their zone and some of these three-pointers can go up from opposing teams.
And they fouled a lot because maybe it was the back-to-back.
Yeah, that was the altitude and that fatigue. But, yeah, I look at that and I go, that is something that I'm also, because if you have teams that are able to shoot the ball, that ends up being a real tough time. But I think it definitely was a make or miss game, but there are a couple of nuggets that are interesting. And I think one of the interesting things also on this night is while the Rockets are losing this game in their first back to back, we will often talk about and forever talk about that as the KD trade. Is there any level of love that we should be giving to Dylan Brooks in like the KD Dylan Brooks trade? He has been phenomenal for the Phoenix Suns, right?
What did he have last night? 34? And then he was talking trash about LeBron, as is the case with him.
I think he said he want people to bow down to him.
And he goes, I don't bow.
Yeah.
I don't bow. Do you miss – you almost appreciate Dylan Brooks now more that he's not here than when he was here?
I kind of – honestly, low-key, I was kind of thinking like, dang, that might be a bigger blow than Jalen Green. Rid of Jalen Green.
I mean, 100% is. Like, to be fair.
I didn't want
to
say it out loud, but I felt in my heart, I'm like, man, that might be a bigger loss.
And I say that with no disrespect, or with all due respect, I should say, to Jalen Green. I actually am not one of those people that is like plotting on his demise or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I'm excited to see what he continues to do as his career goes along. Dylan Brooks has been fundamental for the Phoenix being a pretty good team early on in the season.
Yes.
And the scoring has been there for him, obviously with more volume that's allowed him to do that. But the thing that I will continue to marvel at is that instantly the switch has been flipped, where I ain't seen very much nasty from the Suns in the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, you are now.
That is a crazy physical team. And I do kind of miss that, especially when I bring that back to the Rockets team, where a game like last night, where you're not able to have just a wealth of big bodies.
Yeah.
Some of that physicality felt like it would have been useful for this team.
He was extremely appreciated here, but
I think so.
But I think you just sort of even take it to another level now that you see he's not here, how this team defensively and otherwise is reacting. Not that they stink, but it's not the same.
Not by any means.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah. It was. I mean, it's early night in December. I don't think that it means a ton, but a couple of interesting things that at least it felt like on a night where we're going to have to, they're going to have to contend with some of these things, which is the possibility of a team having a great night, the possibility of KD not having a good night. And then the things that come with not having Steven Adams on a back to back, because that is quite a probability, especially as the rest of your season is going to be pretty condensed after you had a very light early portion of the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's return back to your Houston Texans for our question of the day. It looks like the Texans in good position, 7-5, have an opportunity to have a good finish of the season and get into the playoffs. Who could come back for the Texans and push them to a Super Bowl, a la this former Texan that was talking? We'll let you hear and we'll talk about it next. Question of the day time here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Get involved. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Inspired by Tyrann Mathieu, interestingly enough. Honey Badger, he was talking to Kay Adams, and he had an interesting conversation. Actually, I think, is it worth playing?
Oh, yeah. First?
We're about to play this, but inspired by this conversation that was had, what former Texan you think you could drop onto this team and push them
at
to a Super
At the ends
Bowl?
Of their career.
It'd have to be at the end of the career, and you'll understand why. This was Tyrann Mathieu. This was him literally. This happened yesterday, did it not, Fig?
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday.
Yesterday, talking to Kay Adams. This was the conversation.
I do know this. The Texans, Texans, the way the Texans play defense.
You.
Man, listen, I'll come back to play for a defense like that.
OK, Okay. All I'm getting is you're ready to come back.
Wait,
can you? Are you ready to come back?
I mean, for the right situation, who wouldn't? You know what I mean? So
people who have retired wouldn't.
I love this game, so I'm like,
Tyron wants to come back to the NFL. Let's go! This is huge news.
All right. So just on that, at first, I'm curious because Figgy, you were here when we had the Tyron Matthew experience. By the way, in that same interview,
I think it is Tyron. I always say Tyron.
It is Tyron?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Tyron anyway.
he blocked you, so he can't see.
He blocked me without just searching his own name. But, okay, set that aside. So when he was here, and by the way, he called his tenure at with the Texans a pit stop in the same interview yesterday. So my initial reaction was, no, thank you. And then I started thinking a little bit. I'm like, on this defense?
Yeah.
With his ball skills?
I would let him do whatever. I'm
and
like,
the
hey,
need
just,
at safety?
Just go out there, man. Mm-hmm. Just do what you do, man. Mm-hmm.
You be you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your thing, man.
I did a little about face on that.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a pit stop if we're going to
It was a pit stop.
It is objectively fair that I think it was a pit stop.
I think it's funny because the last time he made some headlines, not on the Kay Adams show, but he mentioned how Bill O'Brien wanted him to take over the team.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, whoa, wait a minute. J.J. Watt was on that team. Yeah. How can you be a captain? this ain't your team and all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now everybody like, hey, come on back, Honey Badger.
Yeah, he actually talked about that yesterday, too. Like, I guess the Chiefs was the only time he felt like it was his defense. You know, not in Arizona, not here. So
the Arizona thing is kind of crazy. Yeah. You know, that he didn't feel that level of ownership there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
I felt like he was the face of that team in Arizona
for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay. Mm-hmm. So you took this to a place of who could come back and push this Texas team to a Super Bowl,
like their last year, like at the ends of their career.
Because
in
my brain, I was like, who now? Because like Tyron Matthew now is talking about this, but he's also only like a year removed from playing football.
Yeah.
So like at the end of their career, who would you pull at that period for this Texas team in order to make them better?
I would go immediately to Chris Myers. Terrific Pro Bowl center.
You just hate that Jake Andrews, Tony. hate him.
It's not personal. It's not personal. But Chris Myers with Titus Howard and Ed Ingram on each side?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? And then those rookie tackle on his left and the veteran Trent Brown on his right? I would go Chris Myers at the end of his career. Hell, I'd go Chris Myers right now at 230 pounds or whatever he is.
No, but especially because it feels like the reason why Jake Andrews is holding down that spot is like mental acumen, for lack of a better term. It's just seemingly getting guys in the right place and, you know, being able to be that portion of this.
And you can't beat Chris Myers at that.
I was like, hey, good on you, but you are not better than Chris Myers doing that. Plus, that dude adds level of physicality and nasty that you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the easiest answers. Because, again, it feels like you're doing where can we address with a great player.
Yeah.
And offensive line is absolutely one of those places that you look at. Is there anywhere else that you're looking at? Because it's funny. There are names that people love, like one, Justin James Watt. I just wonder, do we really need to give even more of an abundance of riches and wealth to the defensive line?
He had a couple cool years in Arizona, though, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I would take
I'm not saying he's bad. Like, clearly, that's fantastic.
No, I would take that J.J. Watt in a heartbeat.
How about J.J. Watt at defensive tackle at the end of his career with these guys?
I mean, yes. Yeah. I hear you don't have to convince me that the future Hall of Famer would be great on this defense. No convincing necessary.
The thing is, like, a lot of people on the end of their careers don't really have a good year that year.
Mm-hmm.
But J.J. was all right.
100%,
man. Yeah. He wasn't bad. He wasn't, you know, MVP type of J.J., but he was still all right, man. Double-digit sacks, I want to say.
You want to know what my cheeky answer was as soon as I saw this?
What's that?
Joe Mixon
is at the end of his career.
No, we have no idea.
I take him. Well, but he figures to be at the end of his career.
But if we're doing that, like if we're talking about running back, you know the name.
Mm-hmm.
Put Arian back there.
Yeah.
With all due respect to what Woody has been able to do,
I feel like that's a good answer. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like he took a pretty precipitous drop.
Towards the end. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. Some other names to come in just for the love of the game. Hey, Andre Johnson.
At the end of his career, he was here and was all right, but you could definitely see it was falling. The other one I was thinking at the end of his career is Owen Daniel. Owen Daniel with Dalton, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah,
I'd take that.
Can I use this as an opportunity to come back to Cade Stover, who became very front of mind because he got out here in this tush push circumstance, and then also I think I appreciated him because he got on the perimeter. Him as pass catcher has not materialized. Now, it hasn't been very many games for him, but him as second pass catcher hasn't really materialized. And I know they probably were expecting more of Brevin Jordan to be that complement to Dalton Schultz in the pass catching division of things. But I'm a little disappointed. Feels unfair because, again, has not been a lot of opportunity and what have you with the injury as well. But it feels like I was hoping to see more from him in that regard. Yeah, for sure.
And Owen Daniel at the end of his career was crafty. I know it's a cliche, but he was a crafty receiver, knew so smart, knew where to carry, where to go, how to use his body in certain situations. And by the way, Arian Foster, his last two seasons, 2015, 2016, averaged 2.6 and 2.5 yards a carry.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was time, and
that's
fair.
And
he recognized it. Figgy, do you have anybody at the ends of their career?
I was just trying to think. We think in former Texans, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. How was Mario Williams? This is his last 2 years.
Y'all just want to make the strength DTs even stronger.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. I'm here for it.
How about Danielle Manning?
I think that's an interesting one. Someone also came up with like DJ Reader.
Mm-hmm.
If I start looking at those safeties, I think that could be the interesting thing because right now, look,
you can say it. We know.
I'm a little concerned.
We know.
Let me press.
What about JJ?
Because I'm not actually JJ to play safe.
No, say JJ.
Oh, JJ. I was like, all right, so we just go throw JJ anyway, right? We'll let JJ do the sneak. Mm-hmm. We'll let him play tight end and play D tackle. It'll be fine. No, JJ would be interesting. Yeah, because he played safety.
Yeah. It was kind of rough towards the end, though. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were just like, all right, man, it's time to hang it up, old man.
Yeah. And then, I you could get me on a number of safeties.
Danielle Manning was pretty good at the end of his career.
You could get me on a number of safeties.
He was pretty good.
I that is in part because the Miles Bryant thing. Like, I don't even think he is awful by any means. It just feels like of a fantastic defense, he is very clearly a weak spot the teams are willing to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like if that was not quite the case.
No, they are attacking him. You know, and it was obvious about a three or four game stretch against the Colts where they were attacking at him. And by the way, you know, that's something that they have to address this week. This week they have to address it and figure it out.
Fig, you think we can get Glover out here?
Glover Quinn?
I think
we can get him out here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fantastic hang.
We got to pull him away from the tailgate, though. Yeah. He'd be trying to tailgate before the game.
He is a fantastic hang if you see him out there in them tailgate lots, for sure. Some other names that come in. Cushing? You interested in Cushing?
At the end of his career? Yeah.
What about Dwayne Brown?
Because he didn't care.
Dwayne Brown came in on the text line, and maybe this is a testament to where they've gotten. It doesn't feel like it is the most important, but you're not going to get me to say no to Dwayne Brown. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Bernard Pollard came in. I don't mind that.
Okay.
I don't mind that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Got a Pro Bowl in his second to last year.
Somebody said, how about Vince Wilfork? I have a feeling that the end of the Vince Wilfork thing was not fruitful as I would have imagined.
Of course Kevin Walter came in.
That's right.
Of course it came in.
Right, that's right. They need
that blocking.
More block, which to be fair.
They do.
No, but they blocked really well at the wide receiver spot in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly kind of posited to myself, I wonder if that's why you got so much Hutchison in this game is because he be out there blocking.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. But there you go.
D'Amico Ryans.
You Which is
what?
Funny because
you know what?
I think D'Amico was bigger in that time and less of a coverage guy, so I think that gets a little dicey. But D'Amico himself would be
but
like,
you got the brain out there.
You do got the brain out there. That is fair. You do got, and I see you with the jokes, Ed Reed. All right. That's how I know the segment is over.
Been there, done that.
I was waiting for that name.
That is how I know that the segment is over. All right. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Tuesday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where. How did you like that Monday Night Football game, including... No, you know what? That's the tease. We'll do it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.